Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome back Kat Edwards, who's on my show every few months. She is a clairvoyant medium, a diploma life coach, a civil funeral celebrant, a spiritual teacher and mentor, public speaker and singer, and she is a writer and mom of four. She was born in Scotland, but moved to Australia when she was 4 years old. At having some spiritual knowledge, and began to have her first spiritual experiences at age 5. When she was 15, Kat bought her first deck of tarot cards and started to read for her friends. At age 24, she began to read professionally, and since then she's gone on to read for thousands of people. As a qualified life coach, Kat is able to mix her spiritual knowledge and abilities with her life coaching knowledge to give you a compassionate, informative, thought-provoking, and guided experience, which can be very helpful to assist you in your life direction. Kat specializes in helping you in your life direction and can see the potential in you even when you can't. Her life's purpose is to honor life and encourage success. That's the life in you and the success that is yours for the taking. Kat is a guidance style reader, which means she facilitates messages of support, guidance, and wisdom from spirit to you. Predictions may form a part of the reading process, however, they are not the sole focus. And so let me welcome Kat. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, David.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Kat, would you tell the people what your website is, because I don't have it written down here.
It's katedwardsclairvoyant.com, and Kat is with a C, and it really needs an overhaul, but that's the website. It's katedwardsclairvoyant.com, and Kat is spelled with a C, and you can also find me on Facebook.
So that's where
Kat Edwards Life Coach and Spiritual Mentor.
That's where you can go if you'd like some life coaching or if you would like a reading from Kat. Tonight we're going to be talking, and we're going to take comments from people. I've talked to a few of you, and there are many of you on the line, so I ask that you'll be patient. I can take a few of your calls. What we're going to do, Kat, I think will be to dialogue for half an hour or so and then take calls for the remaining half hour. How does that sound to you?
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, I've billed the show as Spiritual Master Psychic Kat Edwards Talks About Living in the Light with host David Clark. Now, I know that you are a humble person, and I'm the one that's attached that label to Spiritual Master. But that, to me, is what I see you as, or as becoming. And I'm wondering what living in the light means to you. And, of course, we're going to talk about the duality of light and dark.
Yeah. Thank you for the label, though. I do not feel like I'm a master. I feel like I have so much to learn. And I'm here serving the Great Spirit, as so many other people are, and just doing my little bit in the greater tapestry of bringing humanity up out of the dregs of the Dark Ages and in back into the Satya Yuga, the Golden Age, which is where our birthright is and where our soul's evolution is pointing to, and it's where we really need to be. Of course, it's the great year, the Yuga, the cycle of 25,000 years of the Earth and the Sun doing a dance around the solar system. But during that time, the scope of humanity has grown so much, and we've needed, even though it's been hard and horrible, we've needed to go through the different cycles of the Yugas to grow up enough to deserve and appreciate and understand the full joy of the Satya Yuga, the enlightened time. And you can look at the Yugas in your own life. You can go into a time where everything was wonderful, rosy, and maybe you were a little bit naive and you were enjoying things, and then it started to crumble. Still good, but things were difficult and they're becoming worse. And then it all went to hell in a handbasket. And these are the Yugas as you go. And there's other people who are way better scripted on Yugas than me, so please forgive me with the naming of them. But we've got the Satya Yuga, I think it's the Dwala Yuga. We'll certainly go into the Kali Yuga. And then we're coming out of the final stage, which I can't remember. As we're going up into enlightenment, we're climbing out. We sort of came out of the Kali Yuga around, from what I understand, the 19th century. So here we are. So we descend out of Satya Yuga into Treta Yuga. Then we descend into Dwapara Yuga and then Kali Yuga. And we ascended out of Kali Yuga around 1700 AD. And that's around the time when there was a lot of exploration and there was a lot of enlightenment as far as Renaissance and science and spirituality. People were really beginning to grow spiritually, and we're ascending now up through Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga back into Satya Yuga. So living in the light is about coming out of the darkness of self. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to me, that's what the duality actually comes from. It is sorting through those aspects of the ego that don't serve us and peeling back the layers of the onion that may be rotten until we get to the core, which to me represents the light. And that's just a metaphor. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, I'm talking universally when I look at the Yugas that way, but if I was to talk about my own life, which I really can only talk about my own experiences or pick a movie character or something, because I certainly won't speak for others. You go through the hero's journey. You go through the time when everything's, you know, you have the blissfully ignorant stage, and then things don't seem quite right, and you're starting to feel a bit like it's off, and you're annoyed. You get annoyed with the way things are run. You get annoyed with the way people are acting or governments are running things. You get annoyed on, you know, there's a rock in your shoe. You start to feel annoyed. And then the quest is given to you, and you may have gone through, during that period of annoyance, you may have gone through a seeking that you need to find a reason or an understanding or a knowledge or a skill set to try and fulfill the need to satisfy yourself, that that annoyance can be dealt with. And so that the apprenticeship stage. And then you're given the quest, the disaster has happened, you must go through that disaster, and you must learn, grow, and succeed. You must slay the dragon. You must come out the other end as the hero. But during that time, you need to formulate values, morals. You need to formulate ideals and ways of thinking that will take you in a path of evolution and fulfillment. And it is, as you said, it's like a peeling of an onion, because as you're going through all of this, the only way to fully know yourself is to shed the tears. Because you've been through that period of time when things have been bad, things have really hurt you. You've been through a lot of difficulty, and if you're someone like me, I'm an introverted person, I hold it in.
Yeah.
I can't go around expressing it.
Me too.
Struggle with it. I struggle to express my feelings, so I turn to art, I turn to creative things, or I just sort of get to a point where I need to go vent, and I get a punching bag and I flog that up, you know. But you must let the feelings flow out of you, and a lot of people don't. They bottle it up, and this is not helping. So we must allow ourselves to feel so that we can flow. And in doing that, we begin to rediscover who we are, and we begin to grow in a way that can overcome the obstacles or find a way around them and heal from them. And then we are fortified. And then when we come to the point that we have overcome the greater obstacle, we come back to that tentment, and we're at a greater peace. We're at a deeper peace. So living in the light, it's a bit of a threefold thing. It's taking your inner journey and really taking personal responsibility for it. You know, it's saying I must review my ideals. I must review my values. I must review my morals and ensure they're in alignment with my soul. And then it is acting on them. It is living them. It is every day doing or deliberately being in a state where you are in the light. And then it is also interacting with others. You then come into the greatest experience, which is the connection. And as I've just said that, I had a tickle on my face, and I've actually pulled off a minute spider that's sitting now on my pinky finger. I don't know where it came from. I think it must have brushed onto me in the garden. It is the cutest, tiniest little thing.
Oh.
But if I wasn't in a state of connection, I would fear this spider, and therefore it would bite me, strike me, but instead it's now sitting on my finger now.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking
as
you were talking, I was thinking about how great a challenge it is to us at a personal level to live in the light and to make choices each step of the way and to learn from our experience. But then when you multiply that exponentially to all the globe or all the universe, then we're getting into a different terrain. And I'm wondering how you would explain the reason for duality.
The reason for duality is for experience.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is a great big mind. It's a mind first. It is not physical first. It is idea first, and then form. In matter. The universe in a complete state of peace is dormant. It is inactive. It is not even really breathing. It's just a kind of dormant thing. So if you can imagine a hibernating animal, they're dormant. The body goes into only basic functions, and the spirit has left the cave. It's off, going off doing whatever it wants. It's dormant, and therefore it does not have any growth. A hibernating animal only has half the year to live of the year it sleeps, and sleep replicates death. So it is only a half yearly life that the hibernating animal has. And some animals hibernate for tens of years. There's frogs here in Australia that dig under the earth and stay there in hibernation until the next rains. And in some parts of this country, that can take 12 years before the next rain. So always by taking example from nature, we can understand the greater experience of the divine. And the great spirit is by and large bored if it does not have any action. So it needs to have experience. So it creates within itself a divine masculine aspect and a divine feminine aspect. And then it can start to have different aspects of itself, and it can start to have experience. And one can aggravate the other and cause that aggravation growth and experience. And one and the other can come back together and join, and in that coupling create another image of the Great Spirit. And so on and so on. And so we have the duality is a beautiful dance that the great stars with its own self in order to learn and grow and experience and replicate itself so that it can have multitudes of wonderful and horrible experiences, all in trying to understand the great question, who am I? Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I've always been confused about the concept of evil within the context of the Great Spirit that I've chosen to call God, because I've always believed that God was beneficent and loved us unconditionally and only wanted the best for us. So it's a little bit hard for me to wrap my mind around some of the things that you just talked about. But it makes perfect sense to me. I'm just, and I guess that explains a question I had on why is there evil, unless you want to elaborate on that anymore.
Well, what did you think? Why is there evil? What did you think it was?
Well, I really didn't know when I wrote that question down. But if I'm gathering what it is that you were talking about, how the great mind likes to have experience, and it comes from the duality, which includes wonderful and horrible things. To me, horrible things oftentimes stem from evil at a personal or at a cosmic level. I mean, we've certainly seen that in this world many, many times, and it continues to play out in the world today. But I just have always wondered about that. I've always wondered, why does there have to be evil? Why can't it all be good? And, you know, when I look at my life, a lot of my life has been lived in the shadows. A lot of it has not been what has felt good. And yet I've come to see that there's been a silver lining to even those dark experiences. And ultimately what that is for me is that it's brought me to my today. Yeah, I've made some lousy choices along the way, some of them really shitty. but they brought me to my today, and today I love myself. I appreciate myself. I've done a lot of work on letting go of those things that haven't served me well, and so I'm bringing it back to a personal level, but I don't know if any of that makes sense to you, what I just said.
Yes, because he's gone on the hero's journey, and it is the same for many people. It's the same journey, different circumstances. But if we were to sit 10 people down in a room who are all in their 40s and above and say, tell me your life story, they would tell you of their hero's journey. Now, some of those people still wouldn't be at a place where they understand who they are, and they might not ever get to that in this lifetime.
Right.
But they would certainly have a lot more wisdom than they did when they started. The point of the darkness is to aggravate. It's an agitation. You can't bake a cake without agitating the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
You can't build a house without mixing the mortar, without cutting down the tree. You cannot make something, pulling something else apart and mixing it up and then putting it back together again. Evil is not necessarily a good thing on any means, but what comes of it, the choices that we make, can be.
Yes.
And I can take the example of the recent terrible massacre that happened in New Zealand in Christchurch 2 weeks ago. And we saw a reaction to a massacre like this over in Northern Europe, I think it was the Netherlands, about 5 or 10 years ago, where the PM, the Prime Minister, came out and instead of speaking about anger and hurt, she spoke about love. And she's brought her community, her country together. And the person who did this terrible act happened to be an Australian man. Now, Australia and New Zealand are as Canada and the USA are. We're sister nations. And to have had someone from Australia go and violate our brothers and sisters in New Zealand has just been a terrible, terrible shock to so many of us Aussies. Because we genuinely love the Kiwis, and we understand them, they understand us. There's a massive Kiwi population here in Australia. And so this whole experience, instead of dividing us, it's brought us together. And the reason it's brought us together is because the leadership of New Zealand has said, no, we will not buy into hate. We will buy into love.
Yes.
And the Indigenous peoples were allowed to come forward and give their expression. And Polynesian people, Maori people, they are so beautiful in their spirituality and the way that they sing and express their grief. It is a... is an honor to know anyone who comes from that tradition and to see the way that they deal with things. It's a very mature and loving way that they deal with tragedy. And they have held the hands of their Muslim brothers and sisters, and they have said, you're not different. You are human. We are human. We are all one. And one of the gentlemen who lost his wife, one of the Muslim gentlemen, has publicly declared that he has forgiven the shooter. Now that's a massive,
yes, it is.
Massive thing to have said and to have felt within himself. But he believes, and rightly so, that we are all Allah. And Allah, to me, I am not across Islam enough to declare myself to be someone who is an expert. So anyone out there who is listening who is. I apologize if I say this incorrectly, but my understanding is that Allah is the name for God, which is the universe. And being that the case, we're all part of the same ecosystem.
Right.
We're all part of the same ecosystem. So, yeah, that person who did that has committed an atrocious act of evil. However, that person has to live with themselves. And we have the ultimate relationship. And that ultimate relationship is with the self. You go to sleep with yourself every night. I mean, you might have a partner next to you, but they're snoring their head off.
That's
you
true.
You have to live with you.
Right.
Yourself, your conscience, your consciousness. So evil is not, it's not good. It's not a fun thing. There's nothing I can say about it that I like. And being on the receiving end of it sucks. But going through something that is evil and choosing, because we have choice, we have free will, choosing to turn towards the light, taking the example of the Netherlands when they went through it, of New Zealand when they've gone through it, by joining hands and becoming closer in love. This is how we overcome evil and we learn from evil, because that is what it is there to do. It is the aggregation that causes you to learn.
That is the best explanation I've ever heard, and I love the example, and I agree with you that out of all seeming tragedies, all seeming evil, as we perceive it, that good comes from the hearts of men and women around the world, and I trust that it also extends out into the universe and has affected us for multiple lifetimes. And we could get into the subject of karma. We could get into a lot of things, and perhaps we'll do that another time. We do have quite a few callers that have remained on the line, and I'm grateful for that, because some people thought they were going to get readings tonight. And while Kat gives a wonderful reading, I encourage you to contact her personally. I have had readings from her, and she has done them on the show in the past. But tonight we're talking, and I thank you so much for what you've said, Kat. Would you be ready to take some calls?
Yeah.
Okay. Our first caller is Alan. Alan, you've moved up the ranks. There you are.
Hi. Well, I want to say, first of all, thank you. I thought this was a very enlightening conversation, and I really enjoyed your questions, David. That helped to bring some of the things I also had questions about. And actually, I had called for a reading, and it sounds like you're not doing it. So I'll just sit. You can just take me off, and I'll just listen to the rest of the show. That's fine.
Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you very much for your comments, and we welcome comments. If time allows, after we take calls that have remained on the line, we'll talk some more, Kat and I. So, Ellen, good night and God bless, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, we're coming to Ann, and then we'll go to area codes. Ann, you're live.
Hi, hello.
Hi there. Do you have a comment or question that you would like to pose?
I didn't know if she was doing any kind of mini readings.
Not tonight, no. Did you have any questions about...
No, I don't. I don't have a question, then I'll just keep listening.
Okay, thank you so much, Anne. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's see what happens with the switchboard now. Okay. We have callers remaining. I'm going to go to area code 973. 973, what is your first name, please?
Hi, my name is Tina. Happy Friday.
Hi, Tina. Happy Friday to you, too. But guess what? It's Saturday in Australia, where Kat is.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, happy Saturday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like
You're
to
welcome.
Add to the conversation? Any questions or comments?
Are you doing readings tonight?
No, honey, no readings tonight.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing readings. Okay, no, I'll listen.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me make it clear to the people that are on the line. Kat is not doing readings tonight. She is discussing the topic of living in the light. We've talked about, as you have heard, we've talked about light and darkness, good and evil. We've talked about ego, spirit. We've touched on that. So let me go to the callers that remain. And if you have a question or comment, that's something I'm sure Kat would be glad to address. But we're not doing readings tonight, so I'm going to give you a chance. If you just want to listen, that's fine. We'll certainly find more fodder for talk. Right, Kat?
That's it.
Okay. Area code 708. What is your name, please? Area code 708. Can you hear me?
Hi. My name is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
I'm so glad you're having this conversation because I do have a question.
Good.
What happens, like, and I don't know, I'm hoping this is applicable to what you're discussing here, but what happens when, like, you have a dream? In fact, it was the night before the super moon or the eclipse or whatever, and I was like, in a tunnel, and I could literally feel and hear wind. In the distance was this white light. Now, I would always be attracted to the white light, okay? I would think anyway. But for whatever reason, I wasn't. And this really kind of bothered me. So normally, if you're, because I would like to think good better than evil, you know, so, or is this a metaphor maybe of being where you're at, stay where you're at, as opposed to going to the light? And the thing that was kind of off-putting at the time of the experience was it was so windy, and it was really like I was in the middle of a tornado kind of a thing, you know. So I don't know. So I'm hoping that you can shed some light for me, if you would.
May I ask, were you experiencing any kind of fear because of that tornado?
I was. I was afraid to go to the light. Yes.
So the wind that you were hearing was in the dream. It wasn't in your physical reality.
No, I was in my bed. No,
it was part of your dream then.
Is that right?
But I don't know. It could have been like an astral travel kind of.
It sounds to me more like you were experiencing a little bit of a lucid experience with your dreaming. So you had a self-awareness in the dream. And it sounds to me like you were maybe not so much in a sleeping state, but possibly in a meditative state. And you were going in to more of the energetic body that we have.
Okay.
However, you didn't feel like you were drawn into that tunnel of light. Maybe your instincts were kicking in and you knew that that was not right for you. Sometimes things are wolves in sheep's clothing, and we need to listen to our instincts so that we are safe. and you're instinctually repelled from that particular thing, it may not have been what it seemed.
So well, the funny part about it is,
afraid of that.
Yeah.
Happy about it, you know.
Yeah, one time I attended a seminar with somebody, and I actually had like a white like I've never experienced before from my third eye. Okay, I haven't had it since either, years ago, and it was kind of funny. And that's the thing that was kind of where I had a, do I really trust that white light? And it kind of, maybe it wasn't exactly the same white as the previous white that I had. And the previous white, I would say, would have been very good, okay? And maybe this was white, but maybe it just wasn't the same one. I don't know.
Mm.
And it just gave me cause for hesitation.
So there's two possibilities, and always remember that the answer really is within yourself, and all we can do is give you guidance for you to discover answers within. So for me, I would be, from what I understand you're saying, is that you need to feel more secure in the trust factor in regards to the white light. Would that be correct?
I think so, yeah, to make sure that it is of good, you know,
yes.
Like Big David was saying, of good, you know. I don't want to attract any evil or go towards evil.
That's right. So what I would suggest you do is next time you go into meditation, you go deep into meditation, I would ask you to ask the Great Spirit to show you the way that it will reveal itself to you.
Okay.
So you just say, Great Spirit, God, show me how I can see you, or show me the way you like to be seen by me. So the way that the Great Spirit shows itself to me might be different to you because of my consciousness and my stage of evolution and my life experiences. The Great Spirit might come to me as a doe kangaroo, but it might come to you as a doe deer, because we are in two different continents. But it could come to you as an incredible white light, but it might come to me as something else. So you need to ask the Great Spirit, the highest unconditional love. When you're focusing on that, you're intending that you're speaking to the highest unconditional love. Reveal to me the way in which you wish to be seen by me. And that is how you need to trust. That's how you learn to trust. And three trips, so for 3 weeks or for 3 days, every time you go into meditation, reveal the way in which you wish to be seen by me. And then, you know, right, well, the Great Spirit always shows itself to me as this incredible white light. The thing is, I've seen the white light, and I never felt afraid of it. I called it in not knowing that's what I was going to get. When it's come, it was the brightest white I'd ever seen, with no glare. And it gave me a complete sense of peace and relief. And I felt like I was going to be okay. I felt safe. I felt like I was in my father's arms and I was being fussed on and loved by my mother. I felt a complete sense of total envelopment of love. And there's nothing to fear about that.
Right,
so
and maybe that's what I didn't, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head when I didn't have the feeling of surrender.
Yeah.
How that? Yeah. That's where it's at.
It does. You just well.
Mhm.
Yeah. So ask the Great Spirit to reveal itself to you in the manner in which it wishes to for you to see it.
Okay. Great.
And ask three times, and allow that to come. But allow it to come. Don't force it to come either. Because, you know, there's little sayings out there, all in God's time, for a reason. Let it come. Don't force it. And when we force it, we take ourselves out of connection. So let it come.
Well, I didn't force this, because this is when I was sleeping. But I'll make sure before I go to bed that, because I do believe I do astral travel for sure, that I do this three times and see what happens, and just let the process unfold. That's all. Just let it go and let God and let it be.
That sounds good, Barbara. Yes. I really thank you for bringing this. Go ahead, Kat. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say she can. Before she goes into that sleep state, can just be in a focus of white light, of love, of the highest unconditional love. If she has any archangels she likes, you know, call them in. Highest unconditional love. Bring your angels into you in your highest unconditional love. Bring your soul to you in highest unconditional love. Just be surrounded by the highest unconditional love in yourself. Within yourself, and then go into that state, you'll feel more protected.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time and great subject. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us, Barbara, and thank you for bringing your question forward. I thought it was a very illuminating discussion between the two of you. So I thank you. Good night and God bless.
Same to you guys.
Okay. All right. We have two other people that are remaining on the line. Let's see if they have any questions or comments. Area code 201, what is your first name, please? Hello, area code 201. Can you hear me? Are you muted? We'll come back to you if we have time. Okay, area code 303, you're live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, this is Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn, how are you?
I'm good, David. So nice to speak with you. And Kat, really nice to speak with you. This is really a perfect topic for what I've been really pondering and meditating on, this sense of really coming into alignment with the light and the love and the truth of who I am and we are. And my question has to do with, as I muse on these ideas, when I see the light in myself, I can recognize it as the sense of peace and calm and connection and just a surrendering kind of love, that this unconditional love. And I'm wondering if all of the people who I'm interacting with as well, I mean, they are the sparks of light as well. And I know that we're all connected, and I'm trying to understand how the light works with us in relationship. What the meaning of the light is in our relationships.
Oh, that's great.
No, that's a juicy question, isn't it?
What do you think, Kat?
Well, the very fact that you're alive means that you have the light within you. And even Adolf Hitler had the light within him. He had a very gifted artistic talent. And the world would have been probably in the 20s, 30s, and 40s if he'd become an artist instead of a megalomaniac. But where I'm twin is that the light is, if we can imagine a web, the light shines in each and every one of us through the electrical system in our body. It physically manifests in the electrical system in your body. And when you are connecting with somebody else, whether you're connecting with someone else and you don't like them, or you're connecting with someone else and you do, the light generates itself in a way that will try and help you to have an ease of passage. Light and water work very much in a similar way. So if we take the light and we say it's electricity, which is as close to a physical manifestation of the light as we can have, though we can't actually hold electricity, but we can guide the current. We can see that it likes to go through channels. It likes to go through the easiest path. It likes to be conducted. And so thoughts are a way of conducting the light. We all know of walking into a room that the energy was so thick you could cut it with a knife. That was generated by thought, that energy. It wasn't generated by people slamming on tables, though that might have happened, but it was the energy of thought that created that. So when you're looking at a relationship, whether that relationship is walking away from love or walking towards it, you're looking at how the light is generated through the thoughts that you have in regards to that relationship and then the responding thoughts back to you. So if you are disconnected within yourself, you will not hear or focus on the thoughts that come from the light that are saying, forgive that person, rise above it, or have compassion, think outside the square in this circumstance. The light will guide you, will say, you know, say something like this to the person, and it will change if you follow the path of the light. It is in your thinking pattern. You can remain in critical thinking, you can remain in logical thinking and reasoned thinking, and in fact the light is very much all of those. But it will bring, it has to bring in that intuitive element, because it sparks the force and the magnitude of the electrical system in your body and will guide you into conducting yourself in the correct manner that will see a fluctuation in the relationship that works out for the best. So if we have a relationship that is disconnected, both people are disconnected, you're going to go into chaos. You're going to go into mayhem. If you have a relationship where one person is connected and one is disconnected, you have a greater chance of allowing that other person, by speaking with the light and being a conductor for the light with your thoughts, you are allowing the other person to reconnect into the light as well. Mm. Does that make sense? Does that, at least in part, answer your question? Or was there some other aspect of the question that you needed to explore?
No, that was perfect. That really helped me to understand that we're all connected, I think is what you're saying, through the light, that there is that maybe we're all facets of the light, maybe unique facets, but that we're connected through the light. Did I misinterpret that?
No, absolutely we're connected through the light. And if you were to turn the sun down, dial the sun down, and up the ampage on all the humans, you would see, and then take a photograph from outer space, you would see a big web of light. Every body generates light, and then the light communicates to the next body and the next body and the next body. And we can see in our common vernacular how the light works. 6 degrees of separation. Have you ever heard that expression?
No. Yes.
We are all connected because we're all alive. Like, even an atheist cannot deny we're all alive. An atheist cannot deny that there is life. An atheist cannot deny that there are the elements and that there is electricity and that there are medically proven, scientifically proven functions in the body and that thoughts are responsible for illnesses in the body. That's called the psychosomatic effect. So all of these things collaborate to form the pathway of the life.
Okay.
I went to a meditation lecture last night, and one of the things he did when he was getting us to power down and go into that state, meditative state, was to tell the muscles that they are safe to relax. And we went through group muscle groups in our bodies and said, legs, you are safe to relax now. I tell you, I command you to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And as we went through our bodies, we went through a state of deeper and deeper relaxation because through the power of our thoughts, we commanded our bodies to relax. So light is an incredible power. It is the ultimate power, and it is ultimately thought. It is thought. And that is how powerful thought is. People see light. They see thought in those orbs. People have photographed them now quite extensively. And there's a fellow I've gone to see speak publicly here in Australia. His name's Kevin Robb. And he teaches divine source enhancement from Adelaide. And he's got some amazing photographs of light beings. And not all of them can be trusted, but what they all are thought.
Hmm.
Thought generates energy, which generates matter. So, yeah, that's how we're connected. We're connected through thought, we're connected through life, and we're connected through energy.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Kat. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for calling, Marilyn.
That
provoked some very thoughtful dialogue there. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Good night, hon.
Good night.
Well, Kat, oh, sorry to cut you off, Marilyn. I love what you were saying about thoughts, and I also wanted to comment on that exercise. It's one I've been through many times before, and it is such a relaxing exercise that can take you into the alpha state, too. It's beautiful. But, you know, I was thinking about how thoughts lead to feelings, and that we actually can take charge of both of those things, both of those states, if we are present to the moment. And that ultimately shapes our reality.
Yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, some feelings need to be expressed and worked through so that you can keep having a reality that you like.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think there's a time and place for expressing feelings and a way of doing that, though, that's important. What do you think?
I think, I mean, obviously grief needs to be expressed. Anger needs to be expressed in a safe way, you know, regret, all these different feelings, joy, happiness, contentment, they need to be expressed. But coming into a state of contentment and satisfaction is probably the ultimate way to be. That's a nice, stable place. place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't expect that you're never going to ever swing. One of the hermetic laws of the universe is the law of pendulums. It's going to swing one way, it's going to swing the other. It's the ebb and the flow. So you can't always have it, you know, just perfectly happy.
Right, right, absolutely.
You need to go through those feelings.
Sure. The other thing I was thinking about thoughts is how they ultimately shape our behaviors. And that something as simple as smiling at another person, having a positive idea towards another person and smiling at them usually elicits a smile from them, too. I mean, we're all ultimately mirrors to each other. And we can mirror something that is positive or something that's negative, and like seems to attract like in those instances.
Yes, absolutely. And you can turn somebody's day around by smiling at them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have you heard somebody who's been having a rough time, and then a shopkeeper or someone in the street was rude to them more, and that reinforced that bad time that they're having? Versus somebody who's had a bad time and they were given great service, or they dropped something and somebody picked it up and said a kind word and handed it back to them, and suddenly they felt so much better and they could cope with whatever they were dealing with in their life. And it's what we were talking about with Marilyn, is the connection. It's giving the light to each other. It's passing on the light. When you are handing somebody a smile or an act of kindness, you may as well be giving them a rose of life. And most people will be grateful for it. And the ones that aren't are the ones who are disconnected and have a lot to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I had one last question. Let's see if I can conjure it back up. It had to do with thoughts, and boy, it's eluding me at the moment. But I wondered if you had any last thought yourself on how we can stay more aligned with the light. Have I lost you, Kat? Well, it appears that I have lost Kat, and I thank you, everybody, that's joined me tonight. It has been a wonderful show, and as I mentioned, Kat is on a regular basis. She is a marvelous clairvoyant medium, a marvelous life coach. Please visit her at KatEdwardsClairvoyant.com if you want to explore any of these things with her. And for now, it's time to close. So let's pause and reflect on the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless. Thank you all.